one of the things he does for Christians is to guide us all truth. You said that in John's gospel. And so today, what we're praying is that your Holy Spirit would take your word and teach our hearts about this lady and the lessons you'd have for us to learn this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump into a quick outline. First of all, I want you to know, to this lady, apparently, first of all, the silver was invaluable. It was invaluable. You see that? It says that day often had a headband that was given to them by their father, and it was comprised of coins that were strung together. She'd wear this, well, she'd wear it at her wedding because they were given to her as a dowry to take to her husband. If they were really wealthy, like this headband illustrates, there were a lot of coins on that headband. But for the lady in our story, she only had 10. So that indicates that she and her husband were probably rather poor. Ralph Gower wrote a book that's entitled Manners and Customs of Bible Times, and he said this: it became a custom that part of the dowry should form a circlet of coins that were attached to the woman's headdress. They became a symbol like a wedding ring for us, and therefore the loss of such a coin would be the cause of a great deal of anxiety. She might take this headdress out to wear it on a formal occasion or a celebratory occasion or something like that. This was not something she wore every day. Status. Single Jewish women did not wear headdresses that had coins on them. This silver was invaluable because it declared her marital status. As Mr. Gower wrote, it was like today's wedding ring. When I'm performing a wedding ceremony, I'll tell the husband and the wife that ring that they're wearing, it's a testimony of two things. First, it's a testimony to your mate that I'm yours. Second, it's a testimony to everybody else, I'm taken. And that's exactly what this headdress said. It declared her to be married. So anything, well, imagine, ladies, if the diamond were to fall, or one of the diamonds were to fall out of your wedding ring. Well, that's what was going on with her. Second, it not only declared her marital status, it declared her monetary status. Here's the interesting part about those coins. They were to remain the property of the bride. They were hers, not her husband's. But the original was to be kept in trust in the event that he divorced her or she became widowed. She'd have something to fall back on. They declared her monetary status. The silver coin that's used here, the word that's used here is drachma. It is the Greek coin that's the equivalent to the Roman coin, denarii. And you remember the parable that Jesus told about the guy who went out and he paid his workers a penny a day. I'd love to try something like that, but that won't fly, will it? Not today. But the penny of the day was that Greek or that Roman coin denarii, and it was a day's wage. And so what she had were 10 silver coins that represented 10 days' wages. Now, when it says she lost a silver coin, I think nickel or dime or quarter. But when she loses this coin, it's a full day's wage. Now, I don't know what your day's wage is, but mine's enough for me and for my family that if I lose a day's wage in cash, I'm going to go try to find that day's wage. And so that's why she's looking so diligently. Add to that that she's relatively poor. She only has 10 coins on her headdress. And so that headdress meant a lot to her. So it represented her marital status, her monetary status. But there was also a social stigma attached to it if a coin was missing, because it represented a moral status. Some husbands, if their wife did something that dishonored the family, he would take a coin off of that headdress. So a missing coin on a woman's headdress might mean that there had been sin that had been committed of some type. Something had been done to dishonor herself or her husband or her family. Those coins were always intended to bring glory to her. Whether there were 10 or 100 on that headdress, they were meant to adorn her. And if a coin was missing, then that can I use this word all right? The glory of that bride or the beauty of that bride's attire, it was marred and it was lessened. So this missing coin was more than, it was more than you or I missing a nickel or dime from our pocket. It was a tremendous loss. It was a tremendous loss to her. It's easy to see the purposes of the headdresses, why the loss of even one coin would be so devastating to her. She's going to quickly try to find it. This coin was invaluable to her, so she got worked up when it was gone. Now, here's the other thing, and you can understand this. While that coin was gone, it doesn't matter what it was. Now, it was a day's wage, but it doesn't matter what it was. While that coin was lost, it was absolutely worthless. It didn't matter if it was a penny or a quarter or a silver dollar. It didn't matter if it was a rare coin. Hey, I have made him. He created us in his image in Genesis 1:26. He created us for fellowship in Genesis 3:8. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and you all know that story, when they sinned in the garden, they became lost souls. God didn't create them like that. God didn't intend for them to be like that. And Isaiah says that their sin separated them. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquity hath separated between you and your God that he will not hear. Sin separates. It really does. Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, the Bible says, but they were discharged from the presence of God. Sin also separates us from his relationship. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says we've all gone out of our way. We've gone our own way and we've gone out of fellowship with him. Isaiah 59:2. So what are you saying with all that, Pastor? You're hammering this idea of this lost coin. I'm saying this, that a lost life has no eternal value at all. But a life lived for God is a beautiful and powerful thing according to the scriptures. You know, a lost soul has no eternal value. It's sad. Doesn't matter what we do on this in this life, if we're lost, we're not adding to eternity at all. But the soul that is found by God and redeemed and saved brings great glory to him, brings rejoicing. The Bible says in heaven, we'll talk about that in just a moment, that coin was found and restored to its proper place. And a person, when they're lost and unsaved and they become a Christian, they are restored to their proper place of relationship and fellowship with the God who created them. That's what that means, to be lost and to be found. For this woman, her life was going to be incomplete until she found that coin. She wanted it back. Now, God is certainly complete without you or with you, or without me or with me. But when we're saved by his grace, we demonstrate his glory. We serve the function of adorning the God who saved us. We bring glory to God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God, the scripture says. Well, the silver to her was invaluable. When we read this quickly, 10 pieces, 10 dimes, 10 quarters, she just lost one. It was really a lot more than that, wasn't it? It was a day's wage, and it represented so much. So she has this invaluable silver. Second thing I want you to see was this search was intense. Did you notice that in verse number 8, it says, if she loses this piece of silver, lights a candle, sweeps the house, and seeks diligently till she find it. This unnamed woman, whoever she is, once it was found missing, she goes all out trying to find it. Furniture's getting moved. She's lit this candle to shed light on things, but it says that she sweeps the house. You can see her pushing things out of the way. And I don't know what I can cause you to illustrate that at your house, but what is something that you've lost recently, maybe, and you had to have that? You'll do more than a cursory just glance over the room. You'll go after it. That's exactly what she's doing. We would say this. She turned the house upside down looking for that thing.